If you had your Bibles for the reading and you're there in Genesis, just stay there in Genesis chapter 39. If not, go ahead and turn there. That is going to be our outline for the lesson this morning. Thank you, John, for reading the whole book of Genesis there for me. Now, I did that for a reason, because I thought, with it being the outline and how important and crucial that chapter is, I didn't really want to leave anything out. So I wanted to go ahead and read that whole chapter. So thank you, John, for doing that for us. That'll serve as our outline this morning. Now, I wanted to say this is a special day, special morning for me, because this is the first lesson that I'm preaching as a married man. So I'm very happy to do that. I'm very excited, and to have a partner to serve the Lord together as we build our home on the foundation of God. So very thankful that He has blessed me with that, blessed us with that. And maybe the last time I did a lesson was on marriage. So if I ever do that again, who knows, it may change now since I'm married. But no, I really appreciate everyone being here. It was a good time on our honeymoon that we got to visit two different churches. The first Sunday with Northside Church in Calgary, and then the second Sunday was Mountain View in Calgary as well. Really, both good churches, really good groups there. The congregation, the people were hardworking, very friendly, and it was nice to get to go there. But there's nothing like the feeling of coming back home and coming back and being with our family here at Marion Street. It was very nice. It was a breath of fresh air. It was great. So I thank everyone. I haven't got to speak to everyone yet. So we got back on Wednesday night, but I just appreciate your prayers and thoughts as we traveled to Banff. So as we begin this morning, there was a young man who lived in the patriarchal age. I want to say that was around 1600 BC. I don't want to get caught up in the details here. There was a young man who lived around that time. And where we're going to, in Genesis chapter 39, this young man is about 17 or 18, about 17 years old. And he has some trials that he already has faced, and trials that he faces in chapter 39. And this man's name is Joseph. Now, we're all familiar with, most of us are familiar with this story. Some may not be. So that's why I want to kind of give a little bit of background of this man, Joseph, this young man, Joseph. There was a man in the Old Testament named Abraham. He was given three promises by God that he would be blessed with a great land, great nation, and through his seed, all those nations would be blessed. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had two sons, one of them being Jacob, the other one Esau, but Jacob had 12 children, and that we know of, the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, among those children, one of the children was a son named Joseph. And so that's where we're at this morning. It's Genesis chapter 39. And we know, most of us know, that Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. You see, he has his coat of many colors there. So Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. And he was hated by his brothers for being the favorite son. I think it's also kind of funny, me getting up here to preach about Joseph as I was Joseph in BBS. But it's a great story, and I hope we all can learn much from this story. And with chapter 39 of Genesis being our outline, I want to do something a little bit different. I guess I've never thought of before or never looked at the story of Joseph in this way. I want to take this lesson, and as we go through it, I want to look at different viewpoints of Joseph. So this is what I mean by that. I want us to look at Potiphar's view of Joseph first. So we've got Potiphar. We have his view in the beginning of chapter 39 when Joseph arrives to Egypt. So when he arrives to Egypt after being thrown in the pit by his brothers and then sold and then bought by the Egyptians. So He's already kind of starting off in the pit in this story. So the Egyptians have him. So I want to look at now Potiphar's view of Joseph. Secondly, I want to look at Potiphar's wife's view of Joseph. Thirdly, I want to look at the jailer's view. Some versions may say the warden, but I say the jailer's view of Joseph. And then fourthly, I want to look at God's viewpoint of Joseph. So, in Genesis chapter 39, we have Potiphar. As we read, Potiphar is an officer of Pharaoh. A captain of the guards is what it says. So this man was important. But so was Joseph. And Potiphar saw something in Joseph. He saw something. He saw something great enough to put him in charge of, I think it was 10% maybe, or half, or maybe 90%. No, it says everything. It says Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything. Everything was under Joseph's authority that was under Potiphar's authority. And it's kind of funny, he says that the only thing he concerned himself with was the food that he ate. Had kind of a nice feeling. But he had complete trust in Joseph. Complete trust in him. So you think about the workforce for us. You know, I think about my job. This makes me appreciate that manager position of a business or whatever it may be where you're working. If you're in that manager position, it makes me give a lot more credit and think a lot more about that job because they have all authority. When someone hires or appoints someone in the workforce of that company as a manager to take that position, they have complete authority of what that boss put him in charge of as the manager of that business. So I kind of look at Joseph in that way, that he is the manager of all of Potiphar's things. I guess that's the best way to say that. So, in our jobs, how many of us can say that? Can I truly say, well, if I had that manager position, can I truly say that I'm going to take care of all of it? That I have all the authority? That the slide is not working like I thought it would, but how many of us can say that if we're put in that position, the authority that we have? Can we be trusted like Potiphar trusted Joseph, like Joseph is trusted here? So why did Potiphar do this? Why did he do this? That's something I was thinking about in this scripture reading and in this chapter. Why did Potiphar do this? Well, first thing Potiphar's thinking is, everything Joseph touched is basically turns to gold. It's succeeded. Everything he touches, everything he does, is success, is blessed. So if it was under Joseph's authority, I would do the same thing. I would put it under this guy's authority because it's going to be blessed. But in verse 2 and 3, is where we also find the main reason is not just because it was blessed, but who was behind that blessing? Who was behind that success? The Lord was with Joseph, starting verse 2. And he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful. So Potiphar saw that. He saw that the Lord was with him. And that's going to be our key phrase through this whole lesson this morning, is the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Is the Lord with us at our jobs? In the world, can others see that the Lord is with us? And here in the context of Potiphar being Joseph's boss, can our bosses see that the Lord is with us? Can a customer that I'm working for, can they see, well, there's something different about him. The Lord is with him. They can see that. They can see that. Well, there's it. That's the last one. Well, look at that. I guess I did this in the wrong order, didn't I? So, Genesis chapter 39, we now look at Potiphar's wife's viewpoint. So, we've got Potiphar's view of Joseph. That's a manager position. He thinks Joseph is a successful man because the Lord is with him. He sees that in Joseph. What Potiphar's wife sees is basically a hunk of meat, is what I want to say. That's what his wife sees. He sees Joseph as something to be used, not something to be loved. Something for her to use as her satisfaction. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on this point. Not 45 minutes, but I'm going to spend the majority of this lesson on this point, because if we're talking about the outline in chapter 39, the majority of this chapter is dealing with Potiphar's wife's viewpoint. It's dealing with the problem that Potiphar's wife had looking at Joseph. So that's what she saw him as. She's only looking to please herself. If you have a marker, just place it in Genesis chapter 39. I believe I had this on the screen. You see the little image there. She's just looking at him and with longing eyes, wanting him. Not love, it's lust is what she's wanting. So I had this up on the screen, but I'm going to go ahead and read, turn in my Bible and read from Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5. And I want us just to read through verse 14. Proverbs chapter 5, I'm going to just start in verse 3, if you will. We're just going to read through verse 14 here. And just pay attention. Listen closely. And that's not just what I'm saying. That's what this chapter, that's what 1 through 14 is saying. At the start it says it three times. At the start in verse 1 it says, "My son, pay attention." It says, "Listen closely." And then let's skip down to verse 3. It says, "Though the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey, and her words are smoother than oil, in the end she's as bitter as wormwood and as sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps head straight for Sheol. She doesn't consider the path of life. She doesn't know that her ways are unstable." He's basically saying she's dangerous. She's leading you to death, is what these six verses are saying. So the first time, "My son, pay attention. Listen closely." Not even 10 verses later, you've got six verses later. Starting of the seventh verse, "So now, sons, listen to me." So he takes a break after, I guess it's five or six verses, if I can count right. He takes a break and says, "Listen again." To me, that's pretty important. If I'm reading through the scripture there, and I see he pauses again and says, "Listen. Now, sons, listen." We best listen, and it must be important. Starting in verse 7, "So now, sons, listen to me, and don't turn away from the words from my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Otherwise, you will give up your vitality to others and your years to someone cruel. Strangers will drain your resources, and your hard-earned pay will end up in a foreigner's house. At the end of your life, you will lament when your physical body has been consumed. And you will say, 'How I hated discipline, how my heart despised correction. I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my instructors. I am on the verge of complete ruin before the entire community.'" There's going to be regret after that. After she leads you down the path to death, she's dangerous. But if you fall into that trap and you take the bait, you're going to be taken advantage of and afterwards say, "What was I thinking? I'm an idiot. I don't know why I did that." Because that's all they're there for, is to please themselves. So that's what we see with Potiphar's wife here. She's looking to please herself. She's looking at Joseph as a hunk of meat. But also, and I want to make this clear, I really want to make this point clear. It doesn't say that Potiphar's wife is the devil. It doesn't say that in the text. But the lesson for me, and what I really enjoy reading and thinking about here, is this is also the devil. This is how the devil will work. This is his voice saying that as well. Let me make sure I'm on my notes correctly. So, these are the same actions as the devil. This is the devil attacking. Just like in the beginning, with his brothers when he threw him in the pit, and now with Potiphar's wife. Any chance the devil gets to bring down Joseph and calls him to the stubble, he's going to take any inch he can get to do that. And he's going to do that for you too, for all of us here. I want to make this clear. It doesn't say that in the text, but this is the devil working through Potiphar's wife. Pharaoh probably knew that Joseph was, that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar knew this. Later on, we're going to see the jailer knew that as well. But don't you think Potiphar's wife probably knew that too? That's why he was so stubborn. That's why he didn't give in to sleep with her, to lie with her. What does Joseph still do? I mean, you're looking at a young man, and young men, listen to this. You're looking at a 17 or 18-year-old. When I was about that age, I've always been attracted to women, obviously. But that's why I have a wife. But at that age, I wanted a girlfriend, or I wanted to date somebody. I did. I wanted to. And things changed about me. So I don't want to go into much detail, especially about that. But it was hard for me to keep my eyes off girls. You know, at that age, that's what I was looking for, was a girl, a hot girl. I mean, I'm just going to say it. It was challenging. But, again, listen closely. The point I'm trying to make is that just because the Lord was with Joseph, just because the Lord is with you, is with me as a young man, does not mean the devil won't attack you. I'm going to say that again. If the Lord, because the Lord is with me, because the Lord is with you, if you let him be with you, well, the Lord was with Joseph, that does not mean that the devil's not going to attack you. He will. And as a matter of fact, we think about Jesus being our good shepherd, that he's going to leave the 99 to find the one lost. You look at this in the opposite way. Think about the other end of the spectrum. What about the devil? Is the devil going to go after somebody that's already his? Or somebody that's Jesus's, that's not his people? Think about that for just a minute. Just as hard as Jesus works to find someone that's lost, that's not his people, the devil's going to do the same thing. He wants you to be his people. That's a very strong point to think about. When I thought about it that way, I was like, you know what? That makes sense. He's going to work just as hard to find someone, just like Jesus does. And it's that battle. It's that spiritual warfare. And he's going to pick, also the devil will pick the sin we struggle with the most. Again, why do you think he picked this for Joseph, being as young as Joseph was, handsome and good looking? Well, because that's what a 17 or 18-year-old young man is tempted by. That's why the devil chose that. There's the other picture again. I did this in the wrong way. So again, we're now in verse 7 and going through verse 21. We see, what did Potiphar's wife see? What was her viewpoint of Joseph? She looks at him as a hunk of meat. She did not love Joseph. Joseph looked good to her eyes, and she wanted that. And another point, another strong point to make, young man, and I'm speaking to myself, just because I have a ring on doesn't make me 10 years older. I'm still 23 years old, and I need these lessons just as much as you do. When you are home alone, you think of that Christmas movie, when you're home alone, you have freedom. There's nothing good that can come from a young man being at home alone. And even if you have control, y'all, your age, middle schoolers, y'all have a lot more control than I did when I was that age. And then you older people can start laughing at me because I had more control than y'all. But that's just how it goes. I had a flip phone when I was younger. But I'm making this point to say, y'all have access to a lot. And when you are alone, you have no supervision. I was the same way. No, that's when the devil is going to attack you. That is when he will attack you. Even if the Lord is with you, he will still attack you when you're alone, because you don't feel like I mean, you're alone. You don't feel like anyone's there to help you. That's when he's going to strike. So what did Joseph see? What did Joseph see? Joseph saw the Lord. Joseph saw the Lord. He recognized his role. What comes with seeing the Lord is also recognizing I have a job to do. He recognized that, Potiphar, this is your wife. How could I do this? And he also wanted to stay pure as well. That's the big point. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, I want to go ahead and read that as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, says, "Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith, and in purity." So Joseph recognized his role. He wanted to stay pure. He wanted to stay pure for Potiphar, for Potiphar's wife. He was also concerned with staying pure for his wife. He did not want to sleep with her. And Joseph wanted to stay pure for himself. And again, wanted to stay pure from God, for God. Because he did not want to do that sin against God. How could he? And he ran. That's a big point as well. He ran. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God will provide a way of escape. Well, sometimes you got to take the drastic measure and just run away from it. Don't linger. Don't try to get as close as you can. Joseph didn't try to get as close as he can, as he could. He ran from it. He ran from it. There's another picture of it. She's trying to grab him to sleep with him. And he's running. He's trying to run away because he knows he doesn't need to be there. Being alone with her, that's not good. That's a recipe for disaster. Being alone with another woman. So Joseph's in the pit again. We get to verse 20. He's in prison. He's in the pit again, just as he was when his brothers threw him there. He's now to Egypt, rises, is a trustworthy man with Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife lies, tries to get him to sleep with him, and he says no, and saying no and doing the right thing got him in the pit again. That doesn't make sense, does it? So we're now to the jailer's viewpoint of Joseph. That one threw up first. There we go. So he did not sin against God. That's the jailer's viewpoint here. So where did that lead Joseph? So he led him with the jailer, or the warden. So you might think Joseph is still asking, is continued to ask himself, is God still with me? Is God still with me? Well, you see in verse 21, as soon as Joseph is thrown into prison, in verse 20, immediately, verse 21 starts, "But the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph. When we're ever in the pit, or whenever we're alone and we may think that the devil's got us, there's nothing we can do, the Lord is still with you. Verse 21, it says he gained favor with the prison warden, with the jailer. Verse 22, the warden did what? The jailer did what? Put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority. So even in the pit, even in prison, he still is given authority over everything that was done there. In verse 23, the jailer did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him and the Lord made everything he did successful. The jailer didn't have to bother. The same kind of trust the jailer had, the same kind of trust Potiphar had. They put him the authority over everything that they had. The Lord was with him. The jailer saw a trustworthy man. And so now this leads us to the fourth viewpoint. We've got Potiphar's view. We've got Potiphar's wife's view and the jailer's view. And now let's look at it through the eyes of God as best we can. In the whole chapter, 39, God sees a strong young man. He sees a strong young man. Why was God with Joseph? Because he wanted to do the right thing. He always looked to God first. He always looked at his relationship with God. In verse 9, how could I do this great sin against God? That was his main concern. What is our main concern? What is our main focus? You know, we think about all those different viewpoints, but in reality, the fourth viewpoint is the most important. How does God view me as a young man, or any man with these struggles? How does he view me? Am I battling and looking to him? Or am I letting the devil take over? Am I letting him attack me and win? What is our main focus? Our relationship with God. And then others after that. We need to be strong. We need to be strong, young men. And others will see God in us if we let God in. Before we move to this one, and make this kind of the conclusion here, I want to read just a few things that I had talked with a few of the young men here. And I just wanted to share with you a few things that was said to ask them, what does the story of Joseph make you think of or help you with? What does the story of Joseph as a young man help you with in your life when you face battles or when the devil tries and attack you? What does this story help you with? So some of them said, no matter how bad the situation Joseph was in, he always relied on God. Another one said he always remained faithful, no matter what challenges he went through. He forgave even when his brothers didn't deserve it and helped them out. And one said, what I find interesting in the story is he wasn't afraid to say no. Another one said, he never gave up, even though lots of people in his life betrayed him. And that's true. All of those are true. And those are great insights on that story. This story is great for us to just hold on and strengthen us as young men. You know, in this world, how many times we get this backwards and we want to see how others view us first, and then we look to God, and then we check on our relationship with God. No, it first needs to be with God. Look to God first. Look at his viewpoint. How does he see me as a young man? Pure? And so, to conclude, I want us to look a little bit at Joseph and Jesus. As we talked this morning about Jesus at the Lord's table. Thank you, Dwight, for that great reminder. It's Joseph and Jesus, some similarities that we see between these two men. Both of them were beloved sons. Both expressed preludes of future greatness while still in their youth. Both were rejected by their brothers. Both experienced a conspiracy designed to take their life. Both were victims of false witness. Both were stripped of their coat. Each sold for silver. Both were put into a hole in the ground, put in a pit. And each was mourned as dead. Each interacted with two other prisoners. Both were brought up from the pit. Both rose to the right hand of power. Both would meet first with 10 and then with all 11. And both extended forgiveness to those who betrayed, sold, and abandoned them. I think that's so true. And I think that's something that we all can remember to think about these similarities here. Isn't that so neat to think about these similarities between this young man, young age, 17, 18 years old, and what he went through, some of the same similar things that our Lord went through as he came to this earth. I want us to, as an invitation, I want us to read the words to this song, a friend that many of us know named Stephen Rouse gives us. It's Rise Up Again. Thank you, Stan, for sharing the PowerPoint with me. But I just want to read through these words, and I think it's so fitting as we think about the struggles and the good life that Joseph lived. The first verse starts, Lord, I turn from my sin, from the battle within. You have brought up my life from the pit. Though my hope seemed to die, yet you still heard my cry. You revived me when I would have quit. Lord, I long to be pure, yet my heart is at war, as the spirit and flesh fight within. By your grace, help me kill my desire and my will. Set me free from the passions of sin. Though my sin you have known, now my sin you have thrown, just as far as the east from the west. You remove all my shame. You yourself know my frame. You are mindful that I am but dust. Though the righteous may fall, mighty God hears their call. To the sea he will cast all their sin. Now all thanks be to God, though I fall weak and flawed. O Lord, help me rise up again. Let's rise up as we stand and sing the invitation song.